The market, it's been a volatile place. Some things look good, some things look bad, but we're looking for trouble. And we're doing it with the folks at New Constructs. This is the Danger Zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone on Money Life, the part of the show where we talk with the experts from New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And they do that by digging in at the footnotes level and working their way up. The idea here is that it's forensic accounting meets discounted cash flow analysis. And when you put it all together, you're getting what they consider to be a true picture of the economics of the underlying companies. With that true picture, you can decide if something is being misjudged by the market. And if it is, well, if it's being looked at favorably by the market, but the numbers don't add up to the guys at New Constructs, then something is headed for trouble. And it works the other way as well. If something is being discounted by the market, but the guys at New Constructs say, hey, there's something behind it, well, that would be an attractive stock. And if you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter at New Constructs, and they blog about all of their Danger Zone picks, so there's always more information available about anything we discuss here. David Trainer is the founder and president of New Constructs. He joins us again now. David, great to have you back on Money Life.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the Danger Zone this week?
DoorDash.
Danger, danger.
DoorDash. Ticker symbol dash. It's an IPO. And in this case, if you are putting an IPO into the Danger Zone, it means that IPO stands for it's probably overpriced. So why is this initial public offering, you know, I crack myself up sometimes. Why is this initial public offering headed for trouble?
It reminds us of WeWork, Chuck, in that the business really has no moat, no competitive advantage. It has a lot of competition, well-capitalized competition, and there's, you know, there's a limited amount of revenue here. You know, one of my favorite stories with the team here is that when I was living in Manhattan during the tech bubble, all these delivery services popped up, and, you know, I had a buddy, you know, hey, David, watch this, made a phone call and had somebody 5 minutes later drop a candy bar in his hand. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. You know, this is great. And those businesses all went bust as the tech bubble sort of petered out. They were never economical. Sign of the times. And I think DoorDash is looking to capitalize on the work from home fad that has driven a lot of stocks to unreasonable valuations. This is a dash to get the IPO done before the end of the year while we still got plenty of stimulus pumping through our veins and euphoria around certain popular, you know, work from home themes. But man, let's face it, Chuck. Can we really make that much money delivering food? Like, I don't know about you, but I got a lot of friends and colleagues and, you know, people I've worked with who were pizza delivery drivers. You know, they weren't building mansions.
Well, the other side of this is you can see how the business could work, but I would think that this is an IPO that starts with massive, stupid money risk. Why would I think that? Because no matter what somebody thinks about Uber, right? Uber incorporated Uber Eats into what it does. And when the Uber business suffered during the pandemic, the Uber Eats business was there to help pick things up. But DoorDash doesn't have both sides. So wouldn't it be this is stupid money risk for, you know, one of those past IPOs, yeah, whether it was the Uber IPO, which doesn't need it, or a Lyft or whoever, that they would want a DoorDash? So it's more like you're buying something with stupid money risk in mind?
Yeah, no. I think that that's a very good theory. But the funny thing about the Uber and Uber Eats thing is that, look, the core business at Uber is so bad. And look, Uber Eats is barely break even, I think, if at all. Maybe only on an EBITDA basis, but not a break even business. But it's still a really bad business. It still looks better than the core Uber business, right? And so that was a that was just a curious, you know, a great. It is stupid money risk, and I think that that's what they're hoping for. That one of these other firms will have to buy them because they need to add that on. In the same way, all these highly unprofitable businesses also bought those scooter businesses, which aren't profitable either. But it was part of the trend, and so you just kind of chase the money where the money goes, and that's been a big part of, you know, like the retail bro, Barstool, sports investing is, you know, look, it's just go with the money flow. Don't fight the flow. Don't fight the Fed. from an economics perspective, it still makes no sense. But yeah, stupid money risk. It's right there. I think they're hoping they maybe get bought. But the fact that they haven't gotten bought while they're still private, and that they're, the price tag on the business is going to go way up in the public, is probably more like a WeWork situation where they have exhausted the private market opportunity to increase their valuation. And now it's time for the insiders to get an exit.
Let's talk about how out of whack these numbers are. I mean, obviously, it's an IPO, so we can't say, hey, here's what the price is going to be for sure. But as it looks right now, you know, this is falling flat out of the box. And although you expect or you hope if you're an IPO investor that you get some IPO pop, this would be one of those cases that while there may be some pop, the bigger question is when that bubble pops, where's it headed to? How out of whack is this as an IPO?
You know, in my opinion, I think it could fall in the steps of WeWork. You know, the valuation at $25 billion, which is what early reports, including the Wall Street Journal, have said they're thinking about, at $25 billion, that effectively means they're going to be as profitable as FedEx and capture 72% of the total addressable market with profit levels that are absurd, in our opinion, for this business, right? Like, there's just not a lot of market in it. Period. That's why it's typically been captive of certain restaurant companies. And that's another really important point, right? Domino's can afford to add delivery because they've got a core business that makes money. They do. It helps drive revenue toward a core business that makes money. These guys don't have it. And to be valued as if they're going to own 3/4 of the global food delivery market at profit levels that we only see at firms like FedEx and UPS is absolutely absurd. So, you know, we're hopeful that the IPO doesn't get done because we think it's a phenomenal ripoff to investors. This is a grifting game. This is a way to fleece the public and offload private equity investor risk onto public investors.
It's DoorDash, ticker symbol DASH, and yeah, hoping it doesn't come out. It's an IPO. It is the danger zone pick this week from New Constructs and David Trainer. David, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Chuck. Have a great one.
Get more information at newconstructs.com.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.